Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we explore on this podcast, that intersection between creativity and teaching. And we tend to focus on things like project-based learning and design thinking and makerspaces, and really just having that maker mindset, that creative mindset. And one of the things that I hear often as we talk about this topic is this idea that to be teaching authentically, to be teaching in a way that's student-centered, to be using things like project-based learning, we have to have noisy classrooms. And I want to push back on that thought a little bit here. I actually think sometimes a quieter classroom is the answer. So today we're going to be diving into that, and I'm going to start with sharing a story from my own life. So a few years ago, my parents purchased the ultimate HGTV style home, replete with vaulted ceilings and granite countertops and an open floor plan and everything that you would expect to see on something like The Property Brothers or Fixer Upper or whatever. Now, this was the dream space for entertaining, which was great because they have, you know, grandkids and friends and family that they wanted to be able to have over. People could seamlessly move from the kitchen to the dining room to the family room, which is in reality just one giant room separated by some furniture, and that's kind of it. No more ugly carpet to turn raggedy and stained every time the dog peed on it, right? If someone spilled something on the hardwood floors, you could simply wipe it away. Perfect. It was supposed to be perfect for large gatherings. It was the ultimate party home, until it wasn't. Now, true, people mingled around the large island and moved freely from space to space without bumping into each other, but once a larger crowd gathered, the volume crept up from quiet to louder to really, really loud. And then it was just downright ear-splitting. I found myself shouting to the person next to me and leaning in awkwardly as one of those dreaded close talkers. I would gesture emphatically, which I do anyway right now. I talk with my hands. If you want to quiet me down, just tie my hands up. Now, this continued year after year, and now, each time I visit, I will often take breaks where I stand outside, away from the noise. And each time, that release from the sound feels almost restorative. I'll step out into the cool desert landscape and just listen to the silence. And I know it sounds silly, but that is what allows me to make it through those times of visiting and hanging out. Now, I get it. I am an introvert, and I'm also highly sensitive to noise. But I've noticed a trend in architecture and design. In the emphasis on visual spatial form and function, and on the emphasis of open floor plans and hardwood surfaces, designers, they tend to treat noise as this afterthought. I see it in trendy restaurants with stained concrete floors and high exposed ceilings. It looks amazing. It looks great on Yelp, but it can be nearly impossible to carry on a conversation over a meal. And I've actually read different articles about the dangers in the restaurant industry with the decibel levels reaching well above safety levels. We see a similar trend in the open office floor plans. Now, these look amazing and they allow for open movement, which sounds fantastic. But what happens when you need to sit down and focus on your work? What happens when you need to, you know, make a phone call? I have friends who work in these amazing, expensive, open offices who end up spending an hour in their car just to get their work done. They can't call a client from their open office. Now, there's a fascinating podcast episode. You should probably right now turn this podcast off and just go to 99% Invisible. It's my favorite podcast of all time. And they delve into the relationship between noise and health in hospitals. One of the key takeaways for me after I listened to that was that it's not just the decibel level that matters. It's also the type of noise, the repetition of noise, the frequency, the pitch, all of it. And yet, almost by default, sound is an afterthought in design. We focus so much time on the visual parts and on the spatial aspects. And then we forget that we actually inhabit these spaces using all five of our senses. What we hear matters. And so I'm thinking right now about the classroom. I really believe that a loud classroom doesn't always mean a student is more engaged. And a quiet classroom doesn't always equal more traditional. The reality is volume level has little to do with engagement and student-centeredness. Now, I want to dive into that right now. For a while, for I would say the last 3 to 5 years, you've had these researchers who have been pushing back against cluttered classroom with too many colors and a barrage of visual stimulus. And they often use the term, you know, these classrooms are too noisy and it makes it challenging to focus. Now, too noisy. Let's think about that for a second. What about the actual noise in these classrooms? What about the barrage of sound that can distract students from engaging in deep work? If anything, there's an emphasis on embracing noisy learning within things like project-based learning. We see it in pithy tweets portraying noisy spaces as more innovative or more maker-centered. I recently talked to a principal who said, "If I see a quiet classroom, I am alarmed. I look for loud classrooms. That's where the learning is happening." We often hear that those who are doing the talking are doing the learning, and thus classrooms shouldn't be silent spaces. Now, I get it. I agree with the core idea of these statements. I don't want to see students sitting alone in rows working on packets that have no meaning to them. And yet, when I taught middle school, my classroom generally ran at a pretty quiet hum. Now, there were moments when the volume would spike during a maker project or a divergent thinking project or a heated small group discussion. But there were also times when each student quietly read during silent choice reading and hovered, the volume would hover at a quiet concentration during our blogging projects. We had a maker space. We used design thinking for creative work. We had writers' workshops, and we implemented PBL. And yet, class was very rarely loud. My classroom was quiet, but it was still student-centered. Now, not silent, mind you, but it was generally on the quieter side. Part of this was admittedly selfish. I get edgy and anxious when I'm in a space that's just too loud. But I also had students with sensory issues and students who were more introverted. And it wasn't just them. I really believe all students can benefit from quiet. Again, not all the time. There's a time and a place for the volume to spike. But there's really something positive in embracing the quiet. See, quiet is necessary for collaboration. This sounds simple, but it's easy to overlook. They need to hear each other to collaborate. Quiet is necessary for deep work. They need to be able to enter hyperfocus and tune out distractions and hit a state of flow. And that doesn't happen if the noise is crazy loud. And quiet is necessary for introspection. They just need to be alone with their thoughts sometimes. All right, so what do we do about it? I have a few thoughts. Number one, do a noise audit. Each year, my university does this formative EdTPA where students have to videotape a lesson and reflect on their teaching. And because the videos are continuous, they can't edit out any wasted time. And as I've watched these videos, I've noticed a trend. The intercom interrupts the learning at least twice in every lesson, often more than that. It doesn't matter if it's early elementary or AP English, it's just a part of what happens. Now, we can contact each other on our mobile devices all the time. We all have smartphones. We have this ability to connect, and yet we're still constantly using the intercom. That's an easy thing to fix. I've also noticed other noise issues in classrooms, like science classrooms where the stools scrape against the tile floor, student desks that are creaky. And so what I'm suggesting, this first thought, is do an audit of how noisy the classroom actually is. I've talked before about having students redefining the space by doing a space audit and talk about who owns the space, and they code it, you know, do I own, you know, what space do I own, what space do my classmates own, you know, shared, and what space does the teacher own, and kind of doing a map. Well, you can do a noise audit where they map out the noise, or you take a survey of the noise. You just ask students to be a part of that process. Number two, consider noise when planning spaces. I've worked with districts in planning maker spaces, and I don't tend to focus on the hardware. I don't really care about what 3D printer you get. That's not my jam. But I talk about the instructional goals and the way we can use things like UX design to create more intuitive and empathetic spaces. That's the focus of what I do when I work with districts on this topic. But often when we, you know, when I meet with them, they'll share floor plans, they'll share artist sketches, and they'll talk about what it looks like. But very rarely do they think about what it will sound like. And a simple question to ask as you plan spaces is, how will this space sound for students? How will it sound for students who love noise and for students who hate noise? What does that look like? And when you do that, then you suddenly find yourself rethinking the way you're going to design spaces. Number three, differentiate the noise of the space. We often talk about differentiated instruction. I'm talking about differentiated sound here. I'm talking about just allowing students to walk outside if they need to be in a space that's quiet, or having a quiet enclave in your classroom, but also allowing kids to go outside to be loud. Letting them have headphones to listen to music if it's too quiet, and have kind of some white noise. I used to have students who would listen to white noise while they worked, and they would go to like Noisy Cafe or The Sound of Rain, and they would listen to that while they worked because they thrived having that white noise background. A totally silent class was hard for them. But I had other students who, when they were blogging or reading, they just wanted it dead silent. So what I'm saying is, we can think through this this idea in terms of differentiating for sound. One of the best places to go is to just look at some of the public libraries and even university libraries and see how they've created louder and quieter spaces all within the same larger open space. It's possible, and it works really well. Number four is to create experiences where students have more choice on the noise level. And I kind of got into that. You can have them, allow them to have headphones with music or noise cancellation headphones, and giving them that flexibility. And number five is to consider noise when lesson planning. And this is basically to build in introspection into your lessons, to build in silence into your lessons, but also to build in those moments where it's going to naturally get higher. For example, when I have students brainstorm, they always brainstorm by themselves first before engaging in any kind of group work. And that's within design thinking. That's within project-based learning. The bottom line is that every student on some level needs quiet. I cringe a little with the common noisy equals better learning mantra. Yes, there are times when classes will burst out with loud energy. Sometimes a discussion will get joyfully boisterous and just crazy loud. And that's okay. I think it's possible to walk into one of those classrooms and realize that deep learning is happening. But at the same time, sometimes quiet is the answer. Sometimes solitude, sometimes a gentle hum of work is the answer, not just for introverts or for students with sensory issues, but for all students. In music, there is a deliberate symbol for rest. It's not a break from the song. It's a part of the music. But it is silent, and it is powerful. I think we need the same thing in the classroom. In a culture of noise, sometimes the most relevant answer isn't more noise. it's more silence. Thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. Again, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.